And it's officially a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in to Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, teamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team, ready to help you. Joined, as always, by the man himself, who I think was in a fancier suite for the big night than I was on Wednesday night. Veteran Steelers reporter, Mark Cabali.
I get the bad rep, and you're moaning and bitching that you're in a different suite.
I wasn't moaning or bitching. First of all, maybe we could give our comprehensive opinions on a big night later, but a huge thanks to Phil who hooked it up. I do what Kaboom is always afraid of doing and ask people for favors sometimes. And I said, hey, Phil, is there any way to get into the building? Like, you know, because I waited all day and I waited too long. He's like, no, I got you. Don't worry about it. So I was actually in a suite with a lot of Phil's friends and neighbors, and they were awesome. Say hi to Wayne, Phil's neighbor, who is a massive Ohio State fan and busted my balls the whole time because I had my Penn State hat on, rightfully so, I guess. But it was a big night, long, big night, long and big, Kaboom.
Ooh, yeah, yep. I had to go pick up the kids at the in-laws at like 1 a.m. So,
it was a ton of fun, and it was worth every minute. We'll talk about it maybe a little bit more later. We have another massive special guest joining us on today's show. Thanks to Pat Freiermuth for joining us on Wednesday. Lots of people taking that interview and running with it at different places, and we appreciate the coverage at NFL.com, at ESPN? Where else did we
Pro
see
Football
it?
Talk.
Pro Football Talk, yeah. So Pat had some great things to say about what he's been doing this offseason, what he's expecting out of this coming season, including who the quarterback may be, what Pickens and Metcalf can do together. Go back to that episode and watch it if you'd like to get the whole conversation from Wednesday, April 9th, when we had Pat Freiermuth on. But a new special guest today, Friday, April 11th.
One of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, he's going to have some opinions, I imagine, on offense and quarterbacks and people in the draft. So we'll talk to him when he jumps on in about 20, 25 minutes from now. But let's start with the big news of the last, I guess, 24 hours or so, 36 hours or so. The cryptic TJ Watt Instagram post where he's throwing up the deuces, as the kids say. These things are rarely done without some sort of passive, aggressive intention behind them. So, but again, I don't know where TJ and the Steelers sit in this offseason dance of when are they going to extend him? How are they going to extend him? I very much get the sense that what a lot of fans have clamored for throughout the offseason, really since the end of this past season, a possible TJ Watt trade, which I can't imagine getting excited about that idea, but a lot of people have. It doesn't feel like that's in the offing, but if they can't come together on a deal in the next few months here, Mark, is that TJ saying, yeah, I'm cool with leaving if I have to?
Nah, first I have to correct you there a little bit. You said that people put up cryptic tweets and it usually means something, except if you're me, I just always put up cryptic tweets.
You do shit just to be that guy.
You know, your boy Austin Bechtel looked at me the other day. He goes, oh, so that's what yeet means after going to the big night out.
Wait, he didn't understand what yeet was?
He had no idea what yeet, Jey Uso, nothing was.
For those that maybe just are finding out about us here, like, I sent a message to someone this morning asking if they would come on the show. I'll tell you about it once we're off the air because we like to keep our possible guests.
Look at my notes for the show.
I can't read that.
There is nothing there.
Oh, okay. I told them this show is about the Steelers, Pittsburgh, the Steelers, WWE, the Steelers, a little bit of Pens and Pirates, and the Steelers, okay? So we talk mostly Steelers, but like other stuff comes up, including WWE. WrestleMania is a little over a week away. We'll probably talk about that as well. I guess there are some people, though, that don't keep a close eye on it, and they had no idea. You could spot who those people were on Wednesday night when Jey Uso came out, and they just kind of looked around like, what's going? Why is everybody going like this all of a sudden? But I guess Austin Bechtold, Baldwin brethren of mine, B-Win-Win, is one of those people.
Yeah, I rewatched a little bit of that, and the yeeting was not as spectacular as a WWE event, but that's to be expected.
Well, here nor there. Yeet.
We're off on a tangent, so let's...
Tangent, bring it back. TJ Watt, what's the Instagram post mean?
Instagram post thinks that it means... Oh, well, first of all, he doesn't post very much at all, anywhere.
Right.
At all. I mean, he's one of the guys that posted a picture of his newly born, I think his daughter, and put one of those things on her face so you don't even see who it is. You
he's
know?
Super private. Yes, like,
which is great. It's great. Yeah. You know, the opposite of us, right?
Yeah.
So for him to do that, it clicks a little bit. You're like, okay, what's going on? So I hate trying to follow up and try to figure out what this is over a tweet. Hey, did you see that tweet? But it turns out that there is some meaning behind it, obviously, and it's to do with the contract. I don't think the initial stages of the contract was a money. The money was near where it was. I think we can safely assume, Mac, that he wants paid more than that guy north of the city, about 200 miles. And you know how they, the great Jim Calhoun says, not a dime more. Maybe he'll just take a dime more than
not a dime. Not a dime. Yeah.
Maybe if he takes a dime more, I don't know. But hey, $40 million, call it for what it is. That's just the price of doing business. And me, I don't see him as a player in decline. I just don't see it. Did he have a bad last couple of weeks? Sure. But you know what? Cam Hayward had a bad 2023. And what did that turn out to be 24? He's a spectacular player, and if you think you're going to win, they think they're going to win, you need guys like that. And $40 million is just the cost of doing business. Now, if okay, you could got him cheaper 4 or 5 months ago. But okay, who cares? And that's the Steelers' problem. It's their role.
Yeah.
It's what they abide by, and if it's going to cost them money, they have to know that. And I think there's a little bit to it, and I'm just – you know, based on a little bit of speculation here that maybe this would have been done or a better offer or a more closer to get it done if they knew how much they were going to have to pay their quarterback.
You think that's what's holding it up? Like if they have to give Rodgers $30-35 million?
Well, you have to. I don't know if it's holding up because you don't really normally see extensions out of the Steelers this time of the year. I mean, the earliest you see him is, you know, I think Pouncey did it 1 year in June. You'll see some June ones. If not, you'll see a lot of August ones. This is not the time of the year that they go out there and sign on the dotted line. What did Hayward do? A week before the season or something like that. So there's still 5 months left in this. Maybe he's getting out in front of it. I don't know what it is, but this is a guy that is still probably the top pass rusher in the league, and he thinks he deserves $40 million a season. Now, the problem is here, if you look at Myles Garrett's numbers, he's not getting paid $40 million next year or the year after. That kicks in 27. So I think his cap hits or something is like 24-ish this year. So it's all – and to me, it's all relative. If you want to be the highest-paid guy – you're only going to be the highest paid guy until the other guy gets paid.
Well, it's all about the appearances of it, right? You're right. Like I'll read off the cap hits of Myles Garrett's contract over the next four years. It's 23 this year. It's 24 and a half, basically, the following year. Then close to 29. Then 31. Not until 2029 does his cap hit get exorbitant when it hits $64.9 million. And then in the final year.
That one, Watson's finally off the books.
Yeah, and then in the final year of the deal, it's $58 million. So it's a good point you make about the actual cap hit year by year of the Garrett contract. I also understand – look, I understand both sides of the argument here. I do. TJ is getting older. TJ's at the age where his brother's body started to break down. If you want to use that as some sort of evidentiary proof that he may start to break down at some point, people are looking at the back third of the season and saying, man, I know what TJ's capable of, and that didn't look like TJ, although you could believe that he was maybe dealing with some injuries down the stretch as well. And I look at what he did the first third of the season too, when, you know, he single-handedly won a couple of games. And that's what TJ's always been capable of. I think if he remains capable of that, then that's where the other side of the argument comes in. And you say, yeah, I've been the guy that's been willing to drag your defense to the playoffs, kicking and screaming some years when you had a declining quarterback or no quarterback at all. I'm a future Hall of Famer. I deserve to be paid like one, and maybe, like you said, a dime more than Myles Garrett up the road. I don't blame TJ for wanting that. I think in this situation, I'm speculating here as well, this is what happens when a team knows they have a player who is not an especially squeaky wheel, right? We just talked about how TJ is a very private guy. TJ is not going to go on McAfee. TJ is not going to go to some source in the media. TJ is not going to go out and start complaining about how he doesn't have a deal done yet. He's just not. He's very quiet that way. And he'll sit around and wait for camp if he has to, right? And then yeah, exactly. And then maybe he takes a little bit of action. And even then, the veteran head coach probably doesn't care if the veteran edge rusher wants to sit on the sidelines during the first 2 weeks of camp. So TJ's just not going to rock the boat. And I think the Steelers, I think Omar probably knows that. And Omar's probably not in a rush to get it done. So I imagine they will take their time. And I don't think, short of TJ Watt saying, I'm not going to play in a regular season game if I don't get an extension, this thing ends up being a big deal. They'll end up getting it done.
I mean, the great thing about the old picture is like plausible deniability, right?
Right.
It's just a picture, man. You guys are making up stuff here. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's what it is. But you know, it fascinates me at times that you fans, and other fans because they're fans, call the Rooneys cheap, but then don't want them to spend money on your best player. They call Nutting cheap because he won't put money into the product on the field, then said the Steelers should get rid of arguably the best defensive player in the league because he wants too much money. I mean, what are we doing here? You have a talent like that, and I still think TJ – I mean, I don't buy the, hey, my brother gets hurt because – I mean, that's two different positions. I mean,
two different positions, two different humans, yeah. Two different roles that they're playing. I get it, but
I tore both my Achilles and my brother didn't. So, you know,
you've been lifting heavy weights for a long time too, there, Big Back.
Yeah. So, you know, my kid called me that. I'm like, where are you hearing that from? I mean, Zach Banner used to call me that about 5 years ago after he rubbed his sweaty belly on my head.
But that's how does that even happen?
I'm in the locker room and he comes rolling in from the practice field and he's all sweaty and I don't see him and he just starts rubbing himself on me. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? I had to go wash it. Shirt now.
We should have Banner on sometime.
I will. I've talked to him, but he's busy
actually playing football right now.
Yeah. And he had to move to Houston, I think. So he's kind of busy. Maybe I think later he's having a kid, bunch of stuff like that. So I
think you're right. It's not a one-to-one corollary about the health that his brother had, declining health his brother had towards the end of his career. TJ's a different human than his brother, as evidenced by the fact that JJ loves doing media, right? TJ's not that guy. They're two very different human beings, even though they're both Watt brothers. Like that's, but I honestly think that's what it is the Steelers will just slow play this. I don't know if it has anything to do with, because they still have a ton of cap space that even if they sign Rodgers
on five months.
Right. That even if they sign Rodgers on a pretty hefty deal for 1 year, there's going to be more than enough space to get TJ done, I would think.
Boy, wouldn't that be great to put in a clause into your contract that I have to be the highest paid defensive player in the league by $1, regardless of when I sign it? You know, say Micah Parsons comes and signs $40 million and $25. All of a sudden, TJ gets a $20 bill from Art saying, okay, now you're the highest paid guy again. That'd be a heck of a clause in the contract.
The automatic escalator.
That hey, would our pony Burner, who happens to be cheating on us with the Fan Morning Show today, said JJ will be his mouthpiece, and he probably will be. TJ.
That's a really good point. Yeah. The brother. Right. So, I mean, it's not a bad point, but it's just even JJ in talking about his brother is not going to be particularly loud about it, right? Like they're not. It isn't going to be a Le'Veon Bell type situation. I don't think.
Le'Veon just got bad information. We're talking about, I mean, once again, I'm going back to our pony burner, Brian Garrett, and talking about the defense here, the highest paid. It's just the highest paid because they were so offensively heavy and they had to draft a bunch of defensive guys. That's going to flip. That will flip back to the offensive side before you know it, where the offensive guys are now getting paid more than the defensive guys, especially if some of these offensive linemen get paid up. You're not paying your quarterback any money, so that's cyclical. So I don't think really you can say, well, they're all in on defense because they're paying them so much money. It just happened to be when the Ben A.B. Bell era, their defense stunk.
Yeah.
And everybody seemed to retire or leave at the same time, and they had to replace them. And some of those guys are now getting paid big money.
Yeah, like you said, it's cyclical. DK Metcalf's contract will kick in. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe George Pickens sticks around. I know that seems like a crazy concept right now. Maybe they invest in wide receivers to that level. Who knows? You might be drafting a running back this year who needs to get paid. Jaylen Warren is getting a raise. Not a ton, but, you know, enough to keep him around. To your point, they might spend $25, $30 million on a quarterback this year.
Their whole offensive line is cheap.
Yeah, and eventually that will give way because all those guys will get older.
You're paying Freiermuth and Metcalf right now. That's about it.
That's it. Pat Freiermuth's the highest paid guy on the offense. Hey, that's pretty cool. We had the highest paid guy on the offensive side of the ball on the show the other day. How about that?
He can't afford himself a freaking shaver.
It's the off season. If he doesn't want to shave the beard, let the man go.
I'm surprised. The woman said, hey, I don't like this. And he says, forget you.
Well, I don't think he said F you. I think he said, hey, I'm letting it go for a while just to see how it looks.
I'm putting words in his mouth. But normally if your wife says, hey, man, why don't you shave Chris? You're looking like terrible. You'd probably be like.
No, I purposely let it go. That happened back in the winter, and I let it go a little bit longer. What got me was I finally did decide to shave, and I walked downstairs, and my kids looked at me. My daughter in particular, she's like, you look like 10 years younger.
Well, you should keep it off then.
Yeah. So after getting, you know.
I want to dye my hair.
Do it. Straight jet black.
Once again, you have to get on top of that early. I just can't show up like I'm your buddy Jopa or my K, Coach K.
It was far from my buddy, but okay.
Coach K, I mean, I just can't come up with jet black like Benzie.
No, you're right. You got to stay on top of it early.
Benzie is my favorite because he's the one that once said, hey, this is what you do. You get this shampoo, but make sure you wear gloves. I'm like, dude, you're lucky I
ain't got time for
you. You're lucky I go dry, wet, and dry, let alone dyeing my hair.
I would hope that as a proponent of the dude wipes, dry, wet, dry is a serious part of the routine for you.
Yeah, what makes it really bad for me is, which is pretty lame, is when I go to Sam's Club and they got the dry, wet, they got the dude wipes sample and you have to stick your card in and it beeps and it tells you all about dude wipes and it shoots out one of them. I do it every time. It's great.
You are the king of free samples, aren't you? I could see you going to Sam's or Costco on the weekend just to get free samples.
My kid loves that. He loves to go eat all the food there.
Yeah, it's like a free
merch announcement. John, you know what? Talk to our guy, Relax Styles. He'll probably be able to set you in the right direction.
Yeah, we gotta get more of the merch up and running as the show moves forward. That's a good point. We also have to thank our good friends at Southwest Greens. This is the time of year. I've got two neighbors who already are sitting there arguing, not arguing, like physically arguing, but like they are already having a battle of the lawns. The guy across the street and the guy next door have already each cut their lawn twice man, if you had a beautiful Southwest Greens artificial lawn, you wouldn't have to do that. You wouldn't have to spray all the chemicals on it to keep it green. You wouldn't have to water it constantly in the dead of summer when it's not raining. Go to southwestgreenspa.com right now. Tell Jake that Kabali and Max sent you. They'll come out, tell you exactly what they can do. It could be a little corner of the yard, an area for you to practice your golf. It's Masters weekend, Kabali. Golf, you got to talk like this. You could do a little area around the playset for the kids. It's perfectly fine for the kids and the pets. Cleans up just like a real lawn for those of you worried about what happens to the pet mess. All of it gets taken care of. You'll have the best-looking yard in the neighborhood and spend the least amount of time in the neighborhood taking care of it. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Thank you as well to Brian Garrett, Pony's Burner, as we call him, for pointing out the Penn State lost in the Frozen Four last night. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
They lose to
BU. I mean, they lost to a really good team. They lost to a powerhouse. They lost to
like Bemidji State or Minnetonka or something like that.
No, Western Michigan won the first game, which went into OT and meant there was no way I was staying up for the second game, for the Penn State game. I was exhausted.
What's happened to American college hockey when Penn State and
do you realize how much money and resources and time and effort have been poured into Penn State hockey over the last 15 to 20 years?
Where they play at? They don't play at the
Where does Penn State play? The Pagola Ice Arena, right across from the Bryce Jordan Center.
I'm sorry.
When's the last time you were in state college to even know what I'm talking about? Exactly.
14 years ago, maybe? 14
yeah, man.
Years?
Get caught up, okay?
I know somebody, I saw a shirt on the side selling something about Vest and Tressel, so Tressel was still in Ohio State.
Jeez. Yeah, no. We've upgraded the hockey facilities since the old Greenberg Indoor Sports Complex. Yeah, it's a beautiful arena. The student section is awesome, and they've done a lot with that program.
Who's the other teams in it? Western Michigan?
Western Michigan against BU, Boston University.
The Fighting Spines.
Tomorrow night, yeah. So Western Michigan's first appearance there. Congratulations to them, I guess. But yeah, Penn State lost last night. We'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. Special guest joining us in probably 5 minutes or so. So let me ask you about Shador coming to Pittsburgh yesterday. Has a visit with the Steelers, tells Kay Adams about how much Mike Tomlin kind of reminded him of his dad and how he handles his business as a coach. There's an outside shot Shador slides, or it could just be smokescreen season and everybody's underselling him in hopes that maybe he slides to them, right? But I have a hard time believing he gets past 9 and the New Orleans Saints. But if he did, then very quickly he could slide all the way to the Steelers. I imagine there would be one or two teams who may try to jump them at that point to get their hands on a Shador Sanders or maybe even a Jackson Dart. But I don't know. People see that the opinions on Shador Sanders have become very clarified over the last week or so, it feels like. People either really like him and say, yeah, that guy should go top 10, or there's another group that say, yeah, he's still kind of a first-round quarterback. Wouldn't be surprised to see him slide.
It's tough because it's hard to get a read for me of people in this business that just doesn't like Deion and the people that do like Deion and how much that sways it one way or another. I'm sure that's prevalent in some of the evaluations or some of the talk here. I mean, Shador is his own guy, man. He's going to do what he does. Sure, he has some tendencies of his old man, but his old man won best player, probably the best cornerback that's ever played. So he's been taught this from day one. We know how much Tomlin and company likes the family, the history of the family, being mm-hmm. football fanatics. But I just don't know if he is that foolproof, good enough to waste, now I hate to say waste, but use a first-round pick on him. Then you have to commit to him from 3 to 4 years. Then if it doesn't work out, you push it. I would rather have much more of a sure thing. Although out of the top ones we're talking about, the Shuck, the Dart, Sanders, whoever, I like Sanders' possibility better, but I'm with you. I don't think any of these guys are going to be close to where the Steelers are drafted. They'll be off the board.
Yeah, I'll tell you what my concern with Sanders is, just from watching a decent number of his games over the last year or two and then watching the film breakdowns that people are putting out there. I don't know, and Orlovsky mentioned this last week before the Colorado Pro Day, I don't know about the arm strength to the outside. Like, he's, if you're asking him to work within 15 yards on the edges and in down the middle of the field, I think he's gonna be just fine. And occasionally loft one up deep over, you know, down the sideline, which is what you want with Metcalf and Pickens, right? I just don't know if he's gotta get one, you know, on a 15 to 18 yard out to the sideline, one of those comeback routes where you've got to get to the sticks because it's third and 12. Mm-hmm. If he's got that level of arm strength to get it there with what you need at the NFL level. Like, mm-hmm. I think if you're looking for a guy who can work within this offense, use the weapons that are now a part of it with Metcalf, Pickens, Muth, all of that. Hey, okay, sure. But that reminds me of Pickett, to be honest, not a first round pick.
But I mean, I don't think you can discount the pedigree. I mean, I think that means more than anything. Maybe not more than absolutely everything, but I think that's a huge plus in the Shador Sanders camp. I mean, he's been there. He's done that. He's won wherever he's gone. He's played with bad offensive lines. He was going to need a good offensive line around him, I think, to be able to succeed, and the Steelers are at least on that path. Once again, I don't know if you go down that path right now of a quarterback in the first round. Me, I would go defensive line. I wouldn't worry about a quarterback until right now. Anything's on the board. I mean, but it, like I said, if there's one guy that I would take a close look at, it would be Sanders.
You're out on Dart, and you don't necessarily.
You know, I think Dart's going early. I mean, of course, Ward's going early. Who else am I? I mean, Milroe's going to go too early. So those guys.
I can't believe they're actually inviting him to Green Bay for the first round.
I think that somebody's going to jump in late first round and grab him, right?
That's I don't want to say it's crazy, but I mean that they're counting then on a run on quarterbacks and someone maybe taking him late and thinking he's what, another Jalen Hurts, I guess, another Jaden Daniels. That's putting a lot. And Jalen Hurts wasn't a first round pick either. You know, the Eagles have gotten incredibly lucky with that to this point.
What about this one? How about this? How about the Cardinals decide they fall in love with somebody? If it's Dart, if it's Sanders, pick him, and all of a sudden Kyler Murray becomes expendable.
Why you got to do? Why you got to light the rumor mill on fire? Kaboom! Why you got to do that?
Out loud here.
You know who would be good to talk about all these young quarterbacks?
Who's that?
I can think of a guy.
Uh oh.
There he is.
Uh-oh.
The man himself, former Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley with Kabali and Mac today. Todd, awesome to see your face again, dude. How you been?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Chris?
Great, great. Thanks for coming on the show for a couple minutes.
Hold on before I start. Is Mark awake?
I knew it was coming. I was asking around today to ask. I know Todd's going to say that the first thing. Is there anything I can retort behind the scenes?
He's got some caffeine for you, Kaboom, if you need it.
Well, I already told him about the old Diet Coke offensive lineman upset because they used the offensive lineman's refrigerator. But I've heard some training camp stories about you, Todd, but I can't say them in this setting. Put it this way. The great Ryan Scarpino told me a great story about you, but I really cannot reveal that right now about training camp.
Wow.
All right. That's a low blow. Whatever it is, I'm glad you're not disclosing if it's not worth disclosing.
It's Scarpino. Can it really be trusted? I mean, there's the first question.
True.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard us before you jumped on, Todd. We were just talking about some of the young quarterbacks available in this draft. I know you're watching all of them as you're doing your stuff for SiriusXM these days. And that's, I guess, let's jump off from there and we can kind of go a couple different directions. But let's start with the young quarterbacks that everybody thinks might be available to the Steelers. Like, there's a chance Shador Sanders slides to them, even if it's an outside chance. He was in town yesterday. Jackson Dart was in town last week. There's a chance he could be available. Those are the two that everybody keeps talking about. But as Mark mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard him, is this necessarily a year where you want to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback if you're the Steelers and there are some great D linemen out there as well?
Well, it's never easy, but when you don't have a quarterback, again, we have the whole Aaron Rodgers elephant in the room. I understand that, which to me is the best option available, short-term option for the Steelers. I've seen enough from Aaron last year, even though it wasn't all good. But as the year went on, there was enough there to say that with a supporting cast, you know, DK, George Pickens, the defense that we know year in and year out, as long as those key pieces are there, i.e. TJ Watt, you know, you're coming into a pretty good situation. So he's the best answer, in my opinion, for right now. But you still have to, you know, you have to figure out a long-term answer. Is it in this year's draft? You know, that's the biggest question. You know, I've done evaluations. You know, I'm not ready to jump up on this table and pound my fist for, you know, a bunch of these guys. I like Cam Ward the most from what I've seen, again, with not visiting, talking to, getting your hands on, seeing up, you know, in a live look how the ball comes out of his hands. But, you know, so the most interesting to me is, say, this slide with Shador happens, which, you know, it may or may not. I mean, usually when these things start to gather steam, people in the know that, you know, there's some questions, which I have. But if he's available at that spot, that's when it would get really interesting.
You spent a bunch of years with Mike Tomlin. How much does he value that pedigree in a player, with obviously Shador being Dion's kid? I mean, is that something that he always pushed, or just happened to be go down that route a lot of times?
Oh, I think pedigree is big with Mike. You know, not speaking for him, but you know, it's big for me. You know, it's something that I think people that are football lifers, you know, kind of understand and get. And you know, how can you not get excited? Deion Sanders' son, you know, has a chance to be drafted in a similar area that Deion was drafted. I was at that hula bowl when Deion was coming out in Hawaii with my father. And, you know, it was a unique time. It was, even in the day of no social media, Deion made it a social media event. If there would have been cameras and stuff back then, we'd still be watching the videos. So, you know, I think Mike appreciates that. I don't see how you can't. I mean, you're talking one of the great players, great athletes of all time, and now his son has done some really good things at two different places and helped turn him around. So I would think it's a big thing. I would have loved to have sat in on that meeting the other day.
Yeah, I was going to say, Todd, how cookie cutter are those pre-draft meetings? Because like I said, Sanders was in town yesterday, Jackson Dart last week at this time. As a coach, whether it's as a head coach or an offensive coordinator, how do you approach those? Do you kind of look at it as a job interview? Do you want to get to know him more as a person? Are you putting them up on the board, or does that stuff get taken care of at the combine and maybe you dig a little deeper on the
These in-house visits or where you go to see them, especially private workouts, you know, when you really want to get up close and personal, they're critical. You cannot glean the information you need at the combine in the little amount of time. Now, scouts are doing it all year. I value the scouts so much, you know, because they, you know, they're the ones seeing some of the in live practices, live games. They're talking to their trainers, to their coaches, you know, throughout the year, and they're the ones with the real information. But us as coaches, the first time we really, it might be a dinner before a pro day with a player that you're really interested in. But the in-house visits are a big thing. I mean, you come away from those. You've already done all your work, so to speak, as far as, you know, coming up with a grade, how you value the player. But they can have a big effect, you know. So even when they're late like this, coming right up to the draft, I think they can sway you. You're not going to change your grade, but if you had some reservations and it didn't go really the way you wanted it to. You know, it just solidifies how you think about the player. And same, you know, I always use this example, Patrick Mahomes. You know, we had Ben, he came in for a visit, and we all knew what he was as a player, but, you know, you left that, when he left the building, I had a totally different opinion of Patrick Mahomes, you know, after spending that quality time, because they relax, they're prepared for the Senior Bowl, they're prepared for the combine interviews. But when you get them in your own building and there's other players that are on visits and they're hanging out in the lobby there at the facility and then in the room with you, you can put the tape on, you can put him on the board. I mean, it's a very productive activity as far as coaches go.
Todd, you spent a majority of your coaching career either coaching wide receivers, offensive coordinators. I know you had some interesting guys you coached, Keyshawn, T.O., A.B., Martavis. Now, the George Pickens.
Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Marty Booker.
I'm actually talking about the ones that are unique as in.
Okay.
How would you approach George Pickens? I mean, we hear all the stories. Now, all of a sudden, he's on a one-year deal. DK comes in. What would you say to George right now with DK coming in, knowing he's in the contract year, and to keep him focused?
Well, I'm not there, Mark. I can't, you know, I don't know George, you know, other than watching him play. You know, my philosophy as a coach, if you're asking, is, you know, this is the way we're doing it. If it's not done that way, you're held accountable, you know, and that's all coaches, you know, especially good coaches, you know, you get creative. Receivers is an interesting group. I always said that I was supposed to be a quarterback coach helping Ron Earhart with the Jets. And at the last minute, Parcells moved me over to coach receivers. And at the time, I'm ticked off. I'm like, what the heck? You know, I was going to be sitting in there with Ron Earhart learning about quarterbacks and growing. And now I'm coaching receivers. But, you know, if you can handle that room and it each year and now with social media, as I said, it's changed drastically. But if a coach can handle that particular room without compromising his beliefs as a coach, you've done a good job, and it's going to help you develop in other areas, so to speak, as a coach. So, you know, you're going to have a, you know, and you didn't put Larry on that list, but Larry, you know, what a great individual, but he's like most receivers. He's pretty selfish. You know, all receivers want the ball, and you got to manage that, walk that fine line with keeping them happy, but at the same time expecting results. And that doesn't just mean, you know, when you're catching the ball, that means we got a run play called. It's a critical situation. You can't just stand there at the line and watch the action. You know, you got to go do your job, because when you're making these ESPN plays, so to speak, that are on the highlights, you know, all Sunday night and Monday morning, there's 10 other guys getting hit in the face for you to allow to make that play. So, you know, it's a fine line. These guys are characters. They're creative in general. You know, they're not robots, you know, the good ones anyway. I mean, they see outside the box. So, you know, managing that is a big part of it. So this guy is really talented. Do I see some things at times that frustrate me as a former receiver coach? Absolutely. But, you know, that's up to the coaches to make it work. We, you know, not just me, but Mike Tomlin, Ben, we made AB work. And I was pretty clear in my mind that AB made a poor decision leaving because he was in the perfect garden for a player of not only his ability, but his makeup. And kind of how he grew up, which not many of us can relate to, the life that AB survived to get to where he did. He was in a great place with people that he trusted, and I just felt, you know, when he left, it was going to be a tougher road.
How hard can it be, Todd? You talk about managing receivers, even the greats like Larry Fitzgerald. How hard can it be to manage quarterbacks sometimes? And the Steelers may have to deal with this if Aaron Rodgers comes in, and Aaron Rodgers sees the offense one way. It's Aaron Rodgers' way, right? Especially when he's on the field, you're in the middle of a game. Maybe you're in his headset trying to tell him hey, this is what we want to run. And he gets up to the line and said, I see this. I'm going to do this. How hard is it to kind of let go of the steering wheel a little bit and let that future Hall of Fame quarterback do things the way they want to do it?
That depends on the coach. This is an ego-driven league. You know, some guys are so hard-line coaches, they can't see whatever through the grass or through the trees, the forest through the trees. I don't know what it is.
But yeah, no, you got it there, but in the end, you found it. You can't see the forest for the trees.
But, I lived it in a number of different areas, you know, Kurt Warner being one, you know, a little different situation because, you know, a lot of people thought he was done. He was over the hill. It was over for him. But then when that became clear to me and the rest of our staff that, hey, this is the guy that can take us to the promised land, and a very cerebral guy that is really, really smart, has phenomenal ideas and puts the work in, and, you know, you got to now manage that as best you can that still works with everybody else involved, players, I mean. Because if it were up to Kurt Warner, he'd have 350 plays on a game plan. He could handle it, but the other players couldn't handle it. So it was a matter of playing to his strengths and what he was really comfortable with. Same with Ben. You know, you come into a situation with the Steelers where my job was pretty detailed to me of we got to prolong this guy's career, keep the, you know, we can't have 50 sack seasons. We got to cut that down. But at the same time, you're talking about a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame player and Ben that's really, really good. So I think that's the trick anytime you're dealing, and that's what Mike does so well with all his players, but is that give and take. And I know there's a lot of hoopla about Ben and I. You know, we just talked a couple weeks ago, had a nice conversation, but a lot of that was going on. What are you comfortable with? Because the terminology, I couldn't just come into Pittsburgh and change. And I know the whatever was said, whatever comment he made before we ever talked.
Rosetta Stone.
You know, but there was a lot of work done by a really good staff of offensive coaches of massaging what was already there. It was a lot of the things worked, and at the same time, as a coach, you're trying to, you know, you got to feel comfortable on game day because you got to fire out the calls in a second nature manner. So it's finding that middle ground that works for both. And while still achieving the goal, you know, in my case, hey, we got to eliminate sacks, knock them way down, which I feel like happened, but you know, we didn't ultimately accomplish the real goal, which is winning a Super Bowl, but you know, a lot of good things happened. So you give me Aaron Rodgers right now and I'm out on the practice field. If I'm not listening to Aaron Rodgers and what he likes and what he feels strong about, you know, what I'm doing is laying down the message of, all right, love all that, but there's these other things that have to go on for us to be successful as a team. Not just you have, you know, a career year that everybody's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is back. You know, how do we win ball games? And how can you be a part of it? And, you know, that's the great thing about coaching is trying to find those common grounds that work, that the players has to be really comfortable. The coaches have to feel pretty good. You know, that relationship in general is just so critical, you know, because when a quarterback hears a call coming in his helmet on game day with 80,000 people watching and plus, millions on TV, they got to trust you and the play caller has to trust that you're giving them the best opportunity to succeed.
That's very interesting. You like the Rosetta Stone. I remember that.
It wasn't Rosetta Stone. I'll guarantee that. I can barely speak English, let alone, learning another language.
Now with what did you see from Aaron last year? And do you think this team is a quarterback away from making a run for it? Because it sure seems how they go about their offseason plans that they think they're close. That if they can get solid quarterback play, that this team could be a playoff division winning team. Do you see that as well?
Well, I think they are close. I really do. I mean, I like everybody else that follows football. When the playoffs started with how the end of the season had gone with Russ, you know, and you started looking, all right, who is going to make it out of this thing? You know, when you start comparing players that aren't playing their best with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, whoever those key guys are, Lamar Jackson, I just on paper, to me, that told me, and this is what I said to all my Yinzer friends, you have to play perfect. It's very hard to play perfect. You can't turn the football over. You can't take sacks. You have to stay ahead of the chains, and that's very hard to do. You want margin of error, but the Steelers last year going into that against the competition they were facing, because people always forget, you know, Steeler fans, well, we haven't won a Super Bowl since then. Well, Tom Brady happened to play for 20 years. He took a lion's share of those. Peyton Manning was playing. Drew Brees was playing. Aaron Rodgers was playing. I mean, the competition matters. Some are just a little better than others, and it's a game of inches, as we like to say. And, when you have one of those dudes that can get you that extra inch one way or another, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but it's hard to find. So to answer the question, I saw Aaron Rodgers. It looked a little shaky in the beginning, as you would have expected coming off an Achilles. You could see there wasn't a lot of camaraderie between him. I think Garrett Wilson had been through, you know, he was used to seeing a different quarterback every week, so that he developed bad habits. As much as I love him as a player, he's a great receiver, but he developed bad habits. He's got a different guy throwing it to him every game. There was not a lot of structure, and Aaron comes into a situation where some of that was going on. And I thought as the year progressed, he got more comfortable. Is he the Aaron of old? No, I'm not saying that, but this guy can throw the football. He can make great decisions. And if the coordinator and he are on the same page, with a supporting cast, meaning defense, special teams, a shout out to Danny Smith, because one of my favorite neighbors in the office, other than hearing him chomp his gum, if Aaron has that along with a phenomenal leader in Mike Tomlin, I think, there's a chance to not feel the way you felt going into the playoffs last year, going into. I'm not talking about after losing and everybody whines and cries about it. It's going into it. I'm like, you got to play perfect. And is that going to happen? It doesn't happen very often.
A lot of people, Todd, just look at the succession plan following the end of Ben's career and say that's why they're at where they're at now, the Steelers at the quarterback position. What do you think of the way things have gone since the last year of Ben's career, really the last 2 years of Ben's career, out now through the post Roethlisberger era?
Well, I think it's really hard to transition from a Hall of Fame type quarterback, and now you don't have him. Have the Packers done it better than anybody over the last however many years? Absolutely. You know, they had Aaron Rodgers in the bullpen for Brett Favre, and now they had Jordan Love in the bullpen for Aaron Rodgers. Atlanta's has attempted to do that. The jury's still out. Let's see what it looks like this year with Michael Penix Jr. I've been in those meetings, Chris. I mean, you got Ben. He's playing at a level you feel like you can win it all. You know, if you can get past Brady or whoever the players are. But you're sitting there with a first-round pick. Are we taking a T.J. Watt, or are we looking to the future? That's a really difficult thing when you're a good team. And the Steelers have been a good team for very long time. And, you know, it's hard to pull that trigger. The discussions were always had. There were times when I knew, you know, say Mahomes this year, you know, hey, this guy, he'd be pretty exciting to have around, but we need another big-time receiver, or we need a guard that can play, you know, whoever it is. It's very easy to talk about for us, on the outside and fans, but, man, when you're right there and you look at your team and you say, we got a chance, I mean, we could – you know, if things go our way, we got a chance to put another Lombardi in that trophy case that I walk by every day for 6 years. It's hard to pull the trigger on that. So the transition part with, I'm sure Kevin Mike, the rest of the staff was all in on Kenny Pickett. I liked Kenny a lot, and it could. We don't know what Kenny's going to do. Maybe he, you know, everybody's saying the Browns are done. Maybe all of a sudden we see more or what we were kind of hoping for from Kenny, you know, after spending a year in Philly. It's just hard. And I thought last year, tremendous job for the situation. These quarterbacks don't grow on trees. You had the lowest paid quarterback room in the league with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. You know, the jury's still out on Justin. You know, I think Russell's kind of at the end, you know, maybe a little bit of magic left. But, you know, I thought for the situation where you couldn't just – you're not just going to go find Brett Favre sitting out there on the street, that the way that the Steelers went about it, I thought was brilliant, actually. You know, you got two guys, one young with a lot of a potential, another one that had been there and done that. And you knew you had a defense. You knew you wanted to run the football and do the things you have to do to win games. So it didn't work out. It's unfortunate, but for the handout, I thought it was handled really well in that situation. Now we got a whole nother situation because I said last year going into the season, the team I wanted to watch most, not because I grew up Steelers and worked there, was this situation. How was it? Because I knew Russell and Justin were not going to both be on the team this year. And there was a scenario where neither one of them were. You know, I wanted to see how that played out and what came of it. It didn't work out the way the Steelers wanted it to, or the players for that matter. So now you're back at it again.
Todd, I know Tomlin's got a lot of criticism for not being able to develop a quarterback, although he's not really had much of a chance with you inherit Ben. What are you going to do there? But whose responsibility is it mostly for developing, like over the last 4 or 5 years, the Picketts, the Fields, the guys like that? Whose responsibility is that mostly put on to be able to make them into a good player to a star player?
Well, obviously, you know, the offense coordinator, the quarterback coach are responsible for what they have. Do they have a little input on who, you know, the team acquires? A little bit, but not final say or anything like that. So, you know, you got to work with what you have. But in some cases, it's just not enough. You know, you could develop the heck out of a player that just doesn't have the physical traits. You know, you can make him as smart as you want to be, but if you can't do certain things on an NFL field, it's probably not going to work. So the head coach, I mean, you don't want a million people talking to your quarterback, that's for sure. But, you know, it's the culture. It's the team. You know, I thought Mike with Russell did phenomenal. He went all in. He gave him a quarterback with confidence can play at a higher level than maybe he should be. And I thought everything was put into Russell's flower pot, a lot of fertilizer, a lot of things to give him the best chance to succeed. It just wasn't good enough at that time. So, you know, that's why the NFL is a rough, tough place, not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, I mean, how hard is it to figure out, or how maybe this goes circles all the way back to what I asked you about first, Todd, and getting to know players when they're coming out of the draft, but how do you figure out just how much sugar a guy needs and how soft you got to be with him, how hard you got to be with him when you're coaching him up? And, you know, in an instance like Russell's case, probably doesn't need a ton of coaching on the basic fundamentals, right? But you've got to build him up, build his self-esteem up. You saw that a bit in Hard Knocks in season where you could hear Mike, it sounded like talking to Arthur saying, hey, let's keep number three going in the right direction. Let's keep him up. And then sometimes you have quarterbacks who want to be kicked in the teeth, to be honest, and want to be coached hard. How tough is that to figure out when you're getting to know players?
Well, I think that's what separates average to good to great coaches. You know, and Mike falls in the great category because he gets it as well as in. And I've worked for a Hall of Fame coach in Bill Parcells, who, you know, is a mentor, one of my favorites. You know, he wore you out, but, you know, so saying that about Mike means a lot to me because he is as good as anybody at understanding what each and every player needs. But your staff needs to understand that. You know, there were multiple times I'd be my head would be about to pop off over AB, and Mike would come to me and say the right words at the right time, you know, and get my mind right, so to speak, of, okay, you know, let's not make too much of whatever occurred. But you're right. Every player is different. I mean, Tom Brady wanted to be cursed at. He wanted to be yelled at. That pushed him to a level that maybe just in a normal setting he wouldn't get to. Now, ultimately, he got him, was able to get himself to that state. But every player's not like that. You know, some guys do need a pat on the back and told, hey, it's going to be okay. Where others, you need to call them a bunch of names. And, you know, I get a lot of flack because I'm obviously was a pretty emotional coach through the years. But I had Matt Cassel. Love Matt. But was he an upper echelon quarterback? Well, when you pissed him off and you said a few things and did things, he all of a sudden could just be good enough to give us a chance. And, you know, we won 10 games, won a division in Kansas City. But that, I think that's a good example of every guy's different. You know, some guys want to be got after all the time. Other guys need a little reprieve and a little pat on the back.
Todd, I don't know, a lot of comments coming in saying we want Todd back. Todd needs to – our best offensive
coordinator. So I can throw the ball to you, Mark, and watch you bobble it on the sideline and then sleep in my meetings?
Hey, I did that.
Why would I want to do that?
Not sleeping. Watch. I'll reenact it, see?
There it is. My question is just state. It's a natural state.
Hey, you still got the itch to coach? I mean, or have you moved past that? Do you want to be a coordinator? Do you want to go somewhere else? Or is that you going to move, would like to move into a different type of role, like if it's a, you know, evaluator or helping something out? I mean, can we see you on the sidelines anywhere soon?
I don't, you know, that's a good question, Mark. I love coaching. It was such a big part of my life. I was able to have a lot of success. Unfortunately, your Steelers had to snatch that ring from my hands with about 2 minutes and 35 seconds left. Ben and Santonio and that whole group. But I love coaching. I know I have a lot to offer. But I'm, you know what? I'm really enjoying, you know, doing the Sirius XM Channel 88 radio. It's a lot of fun. I get to have people on like you and pick on you. And but we'll see. I mean, at this stage in my life, it would have to be a great situation. Do I want to go be a coordinator and spend the hours and time that's needed to do that successfully? No. You know, I'm not at that stage in my life. It's a lot of pressure. It takes a toll. It's not for the faint of heart, as I said. So it's kind of nice to be able to put on a headset that you're not having to tell the quarterback what to do. You can just yell at callers and guests.
Before we let you run, Todd, thank you so much for spending so much time with us today. It's funny you mentioned Matt Cassel, because one of our listeners, one of our viewers, brought up Matt and said he was listening to Matt's podcast recently, or there was a story about how you tried to bench him, but Cassel kept going back out on the field. Is this true?
It's absolutely true. But I'll tell you, I think the score of the game was Chiefs 30-something, Titans 10. And I will answer to anybody that has an issue with it, it worked. It worked. I'm telling you, when I said Matt needed to be pissed off, I spent most of my time in Kansas City trying to piss either Matt Cassel or Derek Johnson off a little bit at times to get the most out of them. And that's coaching. In that case, you know, something I'm very proud of, winning a division, you know, things like that, leading the league in rushing. So it worked is the bottom line.
Well, on that note, we'll let you run, man. Thank you again so much for the time. We'll keep checking you out on Sirius XM. And we could have talked to you for like an hour and a half. All the insight was fantastic.
Anytime. Chris, coming out. Enjoyed it. Marky.
All right. We got to get you on some TV shows, man. You're a great analyst.
And good looking to boot.
Yeah.
Ooh, get the beard going. I know that.
You mean on radio, I can't even show off this chin.
Well, the good thing about that is you don't have to get ready either. You just throw on a hoodie
kind of like, ready to kind go, of like right? You did. Kind
hoodie and a hat, you're good to go. Yeah.
This is actually my brand new hoodie. So,
whoa, sorry. That one's been washed.
No, I don't wash clothes.
All new. All the
thanks all right, again, thanks, Todd. We'll catch up with you soon, thanks. Man.
Talk thanks. To you.
Yep. Todd Haley, former Steelers offensive coordinator, joining us here now on SiriusXM. He
moved up to number one.
I mean, just the insight alone on not only the guys that may be playing quarterback for them this year, Rodgers in particular, the insight on what they looked like last year, you know, what the guys coming out in the draft. I mean, great stuff. So really super appreciative of Todd taking the time.
He's on the Sirius. I think he was on this morning, I believe, a 7 to 10. I think he hosts different types of shows there. I mean, it's a little bit different because he has to go around the league there. Here, obviously, he's grew up a Steeler fan. His dad worked his personnel guru here. He was coordinator here. So he pretty much pays attention to everything Steelers.
There you go. There's one of those comments
you mentioned. Arguably, he could be the best offensive coordinator in Steelers history. Maybe Earhart's up there. Maybe
I was gonna say Earhart's definitely up there. What he, the magic he spun with O'Donnell.
I love how he wanted to snap on AB and.
Yeah. I mean, he has the awareness to know that he's a bit of a hothead himself at times, and you get two hotheads like AB and Todd Haley together when things aren't necessarily going the way one or both of them want them to go. Yeah, we remember seeing that on the sidelines. I think, you know, as long as guys end up coming back around to each other and in some cases hugging it out, for lack of a better way to put it, acknowledging that the reason they were so pissed off is just because they wanted things to get better, then I think that can be okay. Like, it's, you know, it's not always necessarily toxic when you see two guys screaming at each other on the sideline.
Yeah, you know, he's the tough love type of guy, but apparently that didn't work very well in Cleveland with what was the receiver's name? He just tapped out. Either way, you're a winner there, right? You get rid of the guy that he wasn't starting. I forget the guy's name now. Help me out here.
What year are you talking
about? It was hard. No, the only year that Haley was a coordinator at in Cleveland.
I can't even remember who that was.
Oh, memory. Corey Coleman, maybe? It could have been him. I'm not quite sure. But he got on him so bad, and that's when Hugh said, hey, go talk to Todd. And Todd's
oh,
like,
that's right.
Do you remember that? So he used some hard love there, and he couldn't handle it. So
yeah, like you said, some people aren't built that way. Some people are. But great insight. Was it Josh Gordon?
I don't think it was Gordon. I thought it was Corey Coleman. I'm not quite sure.
Either way, yeah, Todd made a good point.
I hate to throw Corey Coleman out there if it's not him.
Well, too late. You already did. You mentioned him like three times already.
I know. So I'm trying to find out who it is. Come on, commenters. It ain't Josh Gordon.
Thanks as well to our friends at Impact HVAC. Impact HVAC PGH. You need your AC or your furnace, your heating cooling system serviced. They will help take care of you, especially, look, it might not feel like it right now, but spring will be in full force soon, and that means temperatures will start to heat up into summer. You want to make sure the AC is working right. Get Tony, Sunshine, all the boys out there to service the AC before it gets fired up, make sure it's working right, to maybe fix your furnace like I needed ours replaced a few weeks ago. 412-297-1852, or on Facebook, just search Impact HVAC PGH.
I don't think it was Corey Coleman.
There's a lot to take away from what Todd said. I'm not going to do the typical sports talk radio thing where I go through everything he said, or this was the most impressive thing. But there's a lot of interesting takeaways from that.
It tells me that might be making its round on the interwebs here soon.
Maybe. Speaking of making its rounds on the interwebs, the big night at the other night, Kabali, there's a million, seemingly a million things happened during that show. I don't know what I guess the biggest moment was probably Sid, Skeens, and Ben out there together, and Sid throwing like a 25-yard dart through the target to win some, to up the ante on the $1 million that was being given away and into $2 million. It just jelly roll, Snoop. So much happened that night that, like, I'm starting to take a step back and understand now why it took 4 hours, because there was just so much that Pat wanted to get into the show.
Yeah. By the way, it was Corey Coleman. I just want to make sure that's.
Thank you for confirming.
But, you know, you said the biggest part had to be the sumo guys.
I'm convinced those guys were being paid by the minute, because I don't know what they kept doing, where like they would square off and then one of them would get up and walk away. Is that a thing in sumo wrestling?
Yes, it is. What about Oz the Mentalist? Here's Oz's or whatever how you say his name. This is what his biggest mistake was, thinking Yinzers know how to add. That was number one. So I just, as soon as he started saying, pulling out a calculator, I'm like, that ain't happening.
So Oz and John on YouTube just said Oz worked for him. It worked for some people. I think the problem was he was throwing a lot of numbers out there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And drunk Yinzers weren't really paying attention.
And so even at one point I lost track. My wife, who was sitting at home with our son watching the show on YouTube, was like, yeah, I had the same number as someone in the crowd. The camera flashed to it, but it wasn't the number that he had. I don't know what happened with Oz, but that's what happens when you get in front of like 15,000 drunk Yinzers.
Yeah, I was taking a pee. But like I say, once you start.
Wait, you bailed for the Oz the Mentalist segment?
I go to the bathroom, man. I honestly, if you're talking math, it's not going to interest me. So that's true. We're going math. I'm tapping out. I'm just enjoying the scenes. But it was, look at the production of the whole thing. How much money that was given away, how much money it cost, how much money he likely lost. The superstar. Who would have ever thought in my life, you know, being a guy that grew up in the early 90s when Snoop Dogg was.
Right.
You know, always enjoyed listening to Snoop Dogg, but would I ever go to a Snoop Dogg concert? Never. Never. Maybe I would see him at a Super Bowl halftime, maybe, if the Steelers, whatever.
Right.
But to be able to see Snoop do a couple songs, one with the Wiz.
I'll tell you what,
I never thought I would do.
The one that they brought Ernest out for, the new Ernest song.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite new song. I was driving around this morning.
Because you're a Y108 guy.
No, like it's good. It's got a little country bounce to it, but then Snoop's in it. I was digging it. I was driving around all morning today listening to it.
I mean, Sweet Jey Uso, we talked about.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff Parker McCollum, you probably are having a little bit of a chubby there.
No. I mean, it was nice to see Parker McCollum. I didn't become physically aroused at it. Christ, Mark. But no, it was cool.
I might have been physically aroused when I went over and talked to AJ and Tone and those guys.
Yeah, did you head next door to their
sweet butt?
Say hi to the boys.
Yeah, they were great guys. That was good. Just trying to think what else happened here. What do you think of the McCutcheon beef?
I don't think it's a beef. I think it's just a simple oversight. Like,
I don't even think it's an oversight.
It happens. Like, they wanted to have Skeens. They had Skeens, and they didn't want to have a
relationship with Skeens before. Has Skeens been on the show a number of times? Do we have to sit here and complain about everything? The guy just brought you like Jelly Roll,
Snoop, Wiz, Jey Uso,
all those other guys there, and giving away $4 million or whatever it was. And we're like, wow, McCutcheon should have been there. It was a big mess. You know, go stick it.
Well, no, I mean, it would have been cool to see Kutch there, but the fact that he wasn't, like, are we complaining that Cam and Kiesel didn't come out on stage? They were both there, right? Like, you can only do so much, and there's other people who are complaining about how long it was. So, you know, how much longer did you want to make the show? Really? After the 45-minute sumo match?
I don't know how you don't go to that thing. I mean, first of all, you have to – I'm guessing people from, like, Ontario, Canada – it's a bad example. Seattle, Washington might not have understood everything that was going on there, but that's true. Yinzer Fest, baby. I mean, you had to be a Yinzer among Yinzers to understand everything.
So here's what I'm curious to see about. And if Pat tries doing this again, another big night out, tries doing it somewhere else.
That's tough.
Like, he could do it in Indy. No problem, I'm sure. You know, it's his home now. And there's plenty of stuff that he could make happen with the local teams and players without a problem. You know, Tyrese Halliburton is close with the show, all that kind of stuff. But if he wants to go, you know, really expand it out and beyond, like Columbus, he could probably do it there, right? Because AJ would walk in and own the place. You know, there's a few other places, but if he really wants to get out and do it all over the place, that's, he's going to, you know, it's tough to adjust to being in a place where they don't just intrinsically understand all the same jokes that we understand as Yinzers when Pat talks about
them. Yeah, it was a great show.
But it was fantastic.
Very, I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody understood what it was going to be. People thought it was just going to be the guys up on the stage talking sports. And
yeah, I honestly didn't know what to expect. And that's what I was talking about with people once I got there. Like, I have no idea what this is going to be. But then once you saw the stage laid out the way it was and Pat came out and did his thing with his monologue, you kind of got a feeling that, okay, this is going to be a whole lot bigger than just the show on stage at night in Pittsburgh. And then Jelly Roll comes out singing Renegade. And
I saw the great Mike Marchinsky there, the inventor of Renegade.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
he had to have a little bit of chills that day because he's the one that
came up with the idea.
Yeah, so you think having Jelly Roll singing it there, it was a great night.
It was a fun night, super fun night. And props to Pat for pulling off the vision and everything that went into it. Like you said, there was a lot that went into it. All right, before we wrap up, because we spent like 35 minutes with Todd Haley. SmackDown tonight. I would imagine with a week to go until WrestleMania, we have to have another meeting of some sort between Charlotte and Tiffy. I know all the juice is on the triple threat match Saturday night, right? And then Cody and Cena. I don't want to say it feels like it's taken a back seat, but it kind of has over the last couple of weeks. Cody will be there tonight, though. Okay. So
Cody will be there tonight. Roman will be there Monday. So you can pretty much figure out where they're going here. I don't know if Cena's coming. We'll see.
You got to get Cena, I mean, tonight or Monday, I would think. All of that going on, and you caught me listening to a Ric Flair interview right before we started the show. He was on with Bubba Ray on Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM the other day.
Bubba is very good.
You still haven't watched LFG yet? Legends and Future Greats?
I know. I have not.
He is phenomenal on there. Bubba Ray alone is worth watching LFG. He's the coach of one of the teams, and without giving too much away, he does a good job of putting some people in their place, and it's phenomenal. Anyway, but yes, Bubba Ray is very good. And you know, he was talking about, you know, the thing that would be the biggest storyline move in the triple threat match would be, like we talked about the other day, Heyman abandons both Punk and Reigns to side with Rollins, which is something I think a lot of people kind of feel like they see coming now. So probably won't happen at Mania, but we'll see. And then they also had Ric Flair on and asked Rick what he thought of the Tiffany Stratton promo. And all he really said was he didn't like it. He didn't think it was necessary. And they asked Rick if he thought that it was an angle that was discussed before they went out to the ring. And he said he honestly didn't know. But it feels increasingly like if it's a work, it's a very good one. And if it was a shoot comment by Tiffany Stratton on Charlotte last Friday,
it was.
That is a lot of spice to throw on that dish.
I mean, the way I look at it, it had to be a shoot because just how Charlotte reacted. It's not something
she didn't know what to do.
She didn't know what to say. First thing that came to her mind didn't make sense. Nothing. So for me, that means she was at least taken off guard by that. Which you can now play that into the storyline, which is fine. It's
phenomenal work, by Tiffany Stratton. Shoot or work doesn't really matter. It's the spice that dish needed 2 weeks before Mania.
I don't know why people hate Charlotte so much now?
I don't know. I didn't think that would be the vibe with her coming back, but I'll admit she plays a better heel, I think, than a face. She does a great job of being sort of the haughty queen who looks down on everybody and I'm Charlotte Flair and you're not, and the queen has returned, where's my crown, as if she deserves it and she hasn't done anything because she's been out, and the young up-and-comer takes her out, or maybe she does in fact get it. I think this is just the beginning of this rivalry between these two, and it's going to be really, really good for who knows how long they decide to play the story out, but really, really good.
Yeah, I think as for the Heyman thing, I think Rollins is going to make him be in his corner. And Heyman's going to play it off like he doesn't want to be there. He's going to try to help, not help him. Then all of a sudden, he's going to help Seth Rollins. How about that one? You like that one? He owes him a favor now because he got a curb stomped him to New Mexico. So now it's going to be like, nope, you're in my corner. And he's going to say, I don't want to do that. And Heyman's just absolutely amazing. So he could pull off all those facial expressions or
anything. Give the man Oscars. He's amazing.
He's like, how many current performers are in the Hall of Fame? Typically, that doesn't happen a lot.
Him, Ray, that's basically it.
But Ray's like 50.
That I can think of. Yeah, and Ray's, you know, not even really wrestling full time anymore. What was the other thing I was going to bring?
What are you going to do for Easter dinner or watch wrestling? What are you going to do now?
We have plenty. We don't have plans that day. We got to take the kids to get their passports that afternoon for our vacation.
Easter Sunday.
No, not Easter Sunday, Saturday. So I just want to be home in time for Saturday night for things to get started. And then Sunday, no, we don't really have any plans. We're going to keep it low key and probably focus on WrestleMania.
Where are you going on vacation to?
We're going to, what's it called? I don't know. It's the Dominican. I can't even remember the name of the place.
Wow, the Mac household must be raking in the cash.
It's not until July. This thing's on layaway. Don't worry about it.
July? I guess we have no podcast that week.
No, I guess not. Unless we find somebody to fill in for.
How about the best of?
The best of? That could be good. The Haley interview alone for Ironmuth. The Rock has to re-enter the picture at some point in the next week, right? Otherwise, what were we doing? And I don't know. There's a theory out there, kind of cockamamie, about Travis Scott and how it relates back to Jey Uso. And maybe that plays into things. Rock and Jey Uso, cousins. So is there a Travis?
You see how football and wrestling is very parallel to each other. I mean, we're talking about social media posts and football and TJ Watt. And you're talking, well, you know, back in 2004, he said this, which might lead to this, which must like lead to this, or it could just be nothing.
It could be, but that's the fun of it, is guessing where it's going to go.
Very
based on the stuff that we've seen. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how The Rock figures into everything, because they can't just abandon what happened at the end of Elimination Chamber as if, you know, and then just make it only about Cena and Rhodes. There has to be a Rock-derived swerve to the storyline at some point in the next 9 days.
I hear you. I'm just trying to see if there's anybody else showing up today. The only one's been really announced has been Cody.
That's it. Where are they at?
Cody's showing. That's a good question.
It is a good question. That's why I asked it.
Where is SmackDown tonight? I don't know. Let's find out. Boy, this is what we get
paid the big bucks for? Seattle. They're in Seattle.
It's really? I guess it makes sense. Seattle to Vegas.
Yeah, it's not that far to go. Here we go. Hold on. Rey Fénix, I think.
Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre.
Okay, there should be some good stuff.
Berto, I wonder who's going to win that match.
Rey Fénix or Berto?
Yeah. Oh man.
Well, we didn't even mention. I'm glad Brian Garrett kept us honest to talk about this. It only happened just this morning. Joe Flacco to the Browns. Kenny and Flacco battling for the starting job up in Berea, Ohio. Flacco back to the AFC North yet again.
You thought the Steelers situation was dire.
Oh, Which, by the way.
Oh, man, you're looking for something now.
No. I can't believe the response that happened to this yesterday. Let me make sure I get the right numbers on this. I tweeted out yesterday, if you could only choose one to be the Steelers quarterback in 2025, who would you choose? And the options were Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, Shedeur Sanders, and Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart got 11% of the vote.
And that was including Starkey.
Shedeur Sanders got 19% of the vote. Okay.
Okay.
27% of the vote in second place to the winner of this poll with 43% of the vote. Aaron Rodgers behind Mason Rudolph. Rudolph with 43% of the vote. I did not see that coming.
Mason's a lovable character now.
Is that what it is? Like, people feel like they got to shit on him for a while, and now they can be happy that he's back because the only other viable option is Aaron Rodgers?
Crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side, right?
It's true. He is. That's the next thing we need Relaxed Styles to do. I think he's tried doing it before and he had trouble with it, but we need a Photoshop of Mason Rudolph coming out of the sewer pipe outside of Shawshank looking up into the rain. If anybody can do it, Relaxed Styles can.
Yeah, he's been kind of quiet. I wonder where he's been.
I don't know. Getting ready for Mania, getting ready for the draft. This has been another fun edition of Cabali and Mac, though.
It's actually the longest one of the career.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. An hour and 20 minutes. We need to wrap this thing up. We can do it again on Monday. On Monday, we will be less than a week from Mania, and we will be just 10 days from the draft. Kaboom. Yeah. It's coming. It's a busy time. And we're now going to be about a month away from the schedule release, too. That leaked out yesterday that the schedule will probably get released that second week of May, somewhere between the 13th and the 15th of May. So buckle in, friends. If there's a place you want to be, it's right here with Cabali and Mac. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. Tell all your friends, loved ones, neighbors, fellow Yinzers. And, of course, follow along with the show. Yeah, there you go. You pointed right at it.
Acknowledge me.
And acknowledge Cabali, too. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're going to go now. We've talked way too much.